YPG's desert rats tested weapons of war so they'd work when soldiers' lives depended on them. Thousands of veterans walk the earth today thanks to their work. After decades of service, all that's left is testament. Desert Rat Testament is a monthly anthology that collects the stories and recollections of retired Yuma Proving Ground employees of decades-long service.
Hello, I'm Mark Schauer. Colonel John Nelson had served as an NCO and officer in the Army for 28 years when he took command of Yuma Proving Ground in 2023. A tanker who had served as product manager for the Joint Light Tactical Vehicle, in 2026 he followed his command of YPG by assuming command of fellow Army Test and Evaluation Command installation, White Sands Missile Range. YPG was your first choice when you were given the option of choosing for your command.
So the reason I was interested in YPG is the organization itself, the reputation preceded itself, right? So like as a PM, I sent vehicles down here and we always got what we wanted, you know, what we needed. So it just, like I said, tremendous organization, tremendous opportunity to lead this organization. So I put it on top and, you know, I was fortunate enough to get it. So
you're heading to another command right now, to our sister range, White Sands Missile Range. I don't recall that there's ever been a YPG commander that succeeded to commanding White Sands after being here.
Well, it's a unique situation where the Army decided to, kind of go through a rebalance. The grade plate for the senior commander went from an 07 to an 06, colonel, and the opportunity was afforded to me, and I just couldn't say no. I had such a wonderful experience leading this test organization. I figured that it'd be a tremendously rewarding experience to do that over there, too.
There's a lot of exciting things that happened with the test mission and your time here. We'll get to that. But I noticed how very forward-leaning you were with community participation your entire time here. Everything from Veterans Day parades, you were Grand Marshal of the Silver Spur Parade one year, Wreaths Across America, Memorial Day, every public event I can think of, you were ready, willing, and able to support it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the first, you know, thing is I care about all those things. Second thing is relationships are very important, and especially this one, such a small community where the entire workforce works, you know, they work here, but they live in Yuma, they live in Yuma County. And so to support those community events is very important to me. So because they live there, you know, we'd be in a Veterans Day parade and I'd see people that work at YPG that I recognize and I get to, you know, say hi to them, or I'd see some people that we have good relationships with, Quetzan or Kokopa in the crowd. And being able to go pay respects to Bravey Soto's grave on Memorial Day, that's, you know, such an honor and a privilege to do things like that. But it's a very mutually beneficial relationship. It's not transactional. It's actually a very, very personal relationship between, you know, the local leaders and YPG. So it's been very refreshing and, I don't know, it's such an enjoyment.
Even things like visiting veterans at the Arizona Veterans Home's Yuma location, too. You did it with more than just official events.
Yeah, a lot of people forget about our vets, and you know it's important to remember them and let them know that you remember them and listen to their stories, all of the things they did to fight for this country. It's super important and rewarding and humbling at the same time.
The other thing I noticed in your command here was you did a lot to try to foster the morale of the workforce. And I'm thinking of things like we had an organization day every year, brought things to bear like Bring Your Child to Work Day. You know, even things like the first Army ball that we had in a dozen or more years.
Well, you know, part of it is, you know, building cohesive teams. You have a mission, but that's the mission. But you also have to, you know, have a good home life, but you also have to have a good work life to be productive and effective. And it's just good to know your coworkers. And like I said, just build those teams. You're just going to be that much more effective. And just put a smile on my face to just see how happy people are when they're building those teams. They're competing against each other at Org Day and just kind of making it better every year, soliciting ideas from the workforce about how can we make this thing better. And for Bring Your Child to Work Day, just really kind of got that idea from the workforce and we got behind it and made it a kind of a big deal. And to be able to engage with people's families was very special because you see them. The only time I saw their families was downtown in some of those events, but them to come out here and to see the pride from the families as far as what they're their significant others do out here was pretty special.
A lot of important things happened with the mission, but I think it's fair to say counter small unmanned aircraft became a very hot and heavy part of the workload. Last August, the Secretary of War designated YPG, the dedicated test and training range, not just for inter-service, inter-agency.
Well, it just kind of lent itself to the expertise that they have here on the range and that they've developed over the years. First with counter ID and electronic warfare, but then also being able to track an aircraft or track the missile coming off of an aircraft or tracking the sensors and the detectors. We're already measuring all those things that can kind of compile a counter drone system. We just kind of put all those things together, and we've been doing it for at least a decade. And so it was kind of an obvious choice that the expertise was there, and they demonstrated such a capability to get those things done and also to be fast, right? So that the counter drone problems is here. And so we need to have capability now. And so we're able to turn things pretty fast. So Department of War's come to us and needed something for theater, and we just drop what we're doing. We get that thing turned around pretty quick and it goes into theater. So that's pretty impressive that the workforce can do things like that.
I think of large events we had here, like the experimental demonstration gateway event, combined focus warfighting experiment, kind of in that same counter small UAS lane.
Yeah, again, you're talking about loitering munitions. You're also talking about how do we do counter drone from an aviation platform like an Apache. Like I said, things like that are happening now. We're developing that capability now, but our testing expertise lent itself to being able to do those types of experiments and actually create tangible outcomes for industry and material developers.
Speaking of private industry customers, we had this remarkable test of a containerized missile system that went from cold inquiry to execution of the test in 3 weeks.
Well, that's another example, you know, turning one of those things around for the Department of War that was really important. And so our folks are so passionate about getting things to the warfighter. They just figured out a way to get it done. Like I said, it's such a quick turn, and it was a successful test.
When you took command, did you anticipate that counter small unmanned aircraft would be such a growing part of the workload here?
Not initially, but it quickly became apparent when, you know, things started to heat up in Ukraine and Russia and, you know, the proliferation of drones. I think this year the goal is for them to make 7,000 drones in Ukraine to go up against Russia. Russia's shooting 6,000 loitering munitions at Ukraine, you know, every month. The problem just keeps expanding upon itself, and we're learning the lessons over there, and then industry and material developers are trying to get that stuff developed, and we're the folks that can get that done.
This is a mission here that's probably perennially understated and underrated, doing lot acceptance tests of munitions.
You know, we've had to partner with our international nations, like in Europe, to provide, say, 155 rounds for Ukraine, some DPICM rounds, the cluster munitions and things like that. So it depleted our national stocks. So with, you know, we ramped up our industrial base. Therefore, we had to do increased lot acceptance testing. And we were able to build up our capability, like transition our wax plant and, you know, from steam to electric so it can have more throughput, be more reliable. We had, you know, purchased 2 proof gun systems so that we can fire any kind of cannon that we need to. But just to be faster, to keep up with the lot acceptance and the industrial ramp up.
Were there other aspects of the mission that surprised you in the time of your command here?
Nothing's really surprising over here. I mean, it's pretty like kind of par for the course around here. It's always something happening. The workforce is very resilient and flexible, dynamic. So I can't say that anything surprised me from this workforce.
To a man and woman, every veteran I've ever talked to that knows Yuma tells me it's the most military supportive community they've ever encountered. Did you and your family find it so?
I think so. And, you know, a lot of installations that folks have served at are the larger installations like maybe Fort Hood or Fort Bragg. It's hard to be intimate in those kind of had personal relationships in those kind of big installations. They do it well, but it's just pretty unique here because it is smaller and it's more personal. And I think the way we've supported each other, like them throwing a 250th Army birthday celebration for us in town, Military Appreciation Day, us bringing them out, county supervisors, the city, you know, the city council members, the mayor, bringing different groups out. The Yuma 50 who advocate for us very well. I think that kind of lent itself to them being designated a Great American Defense Community a couple years ago.
You're taking command of White Sands Missile Range, but do you expect you'll be back to visit Yuma
I think so. And there's one very important reason, because I have a daughter that's got a job here teaching high school. So we'll definitely be back to visit her. I have to come through here. And we have a lot of equities between White Sands Missile Range and Yuma Proving Ground, where we test some of the larger counter UAS out there. I'm definitely looking forward to coming back.
It's really good talking to you, Lewis.
Hey, thanks a lot, Mark. Appreciate the time.
For as long as the United States has a military, Yuma Proving Ground will be vital to the national defense. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time on The Testament.